Since Yisrael Katz mentioned to me an item that I consider to be of considerable importance, so I'll just begin with that, but that's not going to be the focus of the shiur. The bulk of the shiur will be devoted to a specific parsha, but I just want to mention at the end of Vayetze, if you take a look for a moment, the Torah describes a pact that was consummated between Laban and Yaakov. It's in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Mem Gimel. Starting really with Mem Dalet, the Torah says, V'ata l'cha nichrasa v'ris ani v'ata, that there's a covenant that's about to be concretized. V'hayu l'eid b'niu b'necha. And then the Torah describes different phenomena that took place to concretize this bris. In Pasuk Mem Hei, V'yikach Yaakov Oven, V'yumeh Matzeva. Yaakov tells his family, Liktu Avonim, V'yichu Avonim V'yasu Go. They create a mound, Bayoku Shamalago. And the next pasuk is the one I just want to focus on for a few moments. Pasuk Mem Zayin. The Torah says, Vayikra Lalavon Yigar Sahadusa. V'Yaakov Koralo Galei. So you notice that the lashon of the pasuk, Vayikra Lalavon Yigar Sahadusa. And Yaakov calls it Galei. Now the meaning of both these names is identical. Each name means that the mound is going to act as a witness. However, Lavan used the Aramaic, and Yaakov Avinu refers to the mound in Lashon HaKodesh. So the Gemara Megillah actually comments on this, but what's a fascinating observation that one has to make is that, is this the only time that Lavan spoke Aramaic in the entire 20 years that Yaakov Avinu lived in his neighborhood, if you will? What was the vernacular? What was the main spoken language? Clearly Aramaic, unquestionably. And the Torah translates for us the conversations that are important for us to know about and to learn about. In fact, it would seem, al pi svara, that we can safely assume that the conversations that the Torah describes in Lashon HaKodesh did not take place in Lashon HaKodesh. Avraham Avinu, when he spoke to Pharaoh, what language did he speak to Pharaoh in? Egyptian. Had Moshe and Aaron spoken to Pharaoh in Lashon HaKodesh, what would be his response? Probably similar to the response of in the yeshiva here, if I would speak Lashon HaKodesh. The Torah actually simply translates or perhaps even paraphrases the conversation. So why does the Torah tell us over here that Lavan gives the rock an Aramaic name while Yaakov Avinu gives it a Hebrew name? So the answer of course is, and this Chazal, want to stress this point, and I think it's an important point to stress. I'm beginning with it just by way of preamble, by way of akdoma, that Yaakov did not change his language. When he spoke to Lavan, he spoke in Aramaic, otherwise Lavan would not have understood what he's talking about. And perhaps the Torah is telling us that even after 20 years in Aram, when Yaakov was already fluent in the Aramaic tongue, but what were his principal language? Lashon HaKodesh. And we can assume that he spoke to his family in what language? Lashon HaKodesh. Because obviously speaking Lashon HaKodesh gives a certain sanctity to ideas, something that other languages are not able to do. Yesh etzleinu kama bachurim nikarim she'efshar lenahel itam sicha b'lashon HaKodesh. B'derech klal baboker, aruchat haboker, yesh et hazchut lenahel sicha im kama bachurim kailu. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? Good. Baruch Hashem. Anachnu mitkadmim. We're progressing. Chazal tell us, Maisa Ovel Simu Levonim. That's a cloud that the Ramban lays down. I'm not discussing that cloud right now. And Chazal tell us a medrash in Shmos Rabbah that's well known in the beginning of Be'el Shmos, that one of the reasons that Klal Yisrael merited being redeemed from Mitzrayim was the Ushinu et Lashonam. They didn't change their language. Presumably, they spoke Egyptian to the Egyptians, but obviously, they among themselves, Dafka spoke Lashon HaKodesh. And Chazal tell us, the Pasuk says, we have it in the Haggadah, it's a Pasuk in Dvarim, Vayishom Legoi, Melamed Shehoi Yisrael Mitzuyanim Shom. It's a drasha, an exegesis of Chazal in the Haggadah, Shal Pesach, it's the Gemara Navi Tzochim. They didn't assimilate into the Egyptian nation and culture. And one of the ways this manifested itself were speaking their own language. We know that Chazal say that Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim, they descended to the lowest level of Tumah, to the 49th Madrega of Tumah, which of course is something that is obviously regrettable and tragic. However, one of the things that prevented them from losing their Kiddusha altogether was the fact that they maintained Lashon HaKodesh. Lashon HaKodesh is an inseparable part of the Torah itself. Matter of fact, many claim, you're probably familiar with it, there's a Rashi in Dvarim. Rashi in Dvarim, this passage you certainly are familiar with. It's in Vahoyim Shavua. The Torah says in Parshas Ekev, the end of Parshas Ekev, V'limadetem osam es b'neichem v'daber bom. So Rashi comments on that pasuk. It's Perek Yud Aleph, pasuk Yud Tes, the end of Ekev. Says Rashi, Misho shaben yodeh l'daber, from the time the child begins to speak, Lamdeyu Torah, Tzivu Olam Moshe, Sheyeze, Limu Dibura, Mikan Amuk, Shatinuk Master Ledaber, Oviv Messiah Imo, B'Lashon HaKodesh. You know that Rashi? Hochacha, the Mashe, Anachnu Menalim Tasicha Azot, Gam Kir Yitzchak, Gam Kir Yitzcha, Ena Beka Ewa Baishiva, Anim Kavesh, Hamatzav Yishtaper, Od Ma. Ubechol Zot, that was just a editorial comment. Rashi says, from the time a child knows how to speak, Torah Tzivah Lola Moshe, what should be the natural pattern of his speech? What should the father do? Speak to him in Lashon HaKodesh. Teach him Torah, Lashon HaKodesh. You may have noticed in Tanakh that all the Nevi'im prophesied in what language? Lashon HaKodesh. And the fact that our language is Kodosh beyond all of the languages, B'romamtonu mikol ha-lashonos, Hashem elevated us from all the other Lishonos. What do Lishonos refer to? All other languages. Yo hablo español muy poco. Trust me, lahavdil me'av alfei avdolos. From Lashon HaKodesh. The Rambam writes, it is a Perush HaMishnayos to Avos. The Rambam says that there are individuals who think if you write a song in Lashon HaKodesh, regardless of its content, it can have content that is derogatory, content that is absolutely repugnant, that somehow that is praiseworthy. Whereas if it's written in some other language, it's not at all praiseworthy, even though the content is kadosh. And the Rambam, of course, refutes this idea and says very clearly, if the song contains chokhmah or dvarim shebikdusha, no matter what language it's written in, it's praiseworthy. By the way, the Rambam wrote most of his works in what language? Arabic. Mishneh Torah was written in Lashon HaKodesh, but many of the other works of the Rambam are written in Arabic. Rashi, unquestionably, even though you know the Perush of Rashi both on Tanakh and the Perush of Rashi in the Gemara is written Lashon HaKodesh, but Rashi clearly was familiar with French. And the German Balei HaTosfos spoke German. And obviously, the point of the Rambam is that you have a song containing nonsense, it may be written Lashon HaKodesh, but if it's nonsense, nonsense is nonsense is nonsense. So you have here, in this country, and elsewhere, many singers who may sing in Hebrew. But the content of their songs leave a lot to be desired. And so obviously what they have done is simply, they have unfortunately utilized Lashon HaKodesh without the inner spirituality that should accompany. Okay, this was just a comment by way of introduction. That's not really the topic, as I said, I want to discuss. But I just wanted to mention the importance of acquiring Lashon HaKodesh. As a matter of fact, that's the reason why Chazal, the Gemara Megillah, talks about the Septuagint, the Targum HaShivim, when the Talmai, he gathered the 72 Talmidei Chachamim, and he put them in different rooms, he asked them to translate the Torah into Greek, and Hashem performed a Nes, and each of them made the same minor alterations. The idea was to prevent misinterpretation. They all translated the Torah the same way. One would have thought that the anniversary of that day should be a Yom Tov. Chazal understood that was not a happy day. Chazal declared a tainus on the 8th day of Teves, which was the day that the Torah was translated, and it's actually mentioned in the Ashkenazic slichus of Aser B'Teves. There are individuals who still say slichus today. Minimally those of Aser B'Teves, not too many. The tragedy of this was that Jews living in foreign lands, speaking other languages, will no longer learn the original Torah but a Greek translation. Today we have another language that's replaced Lashon HaKodesh. What language is that? English. Chaval. I'm not against the English language. I'm not against the English language when we're talking about art scroll and the like, that Baruch Hashem has revolutionized the Torah world, and it's a good thing, obviously, but at the end of the day, clearly, one has to acquire Lashon HaKodesh. Among the thousand reasons why I suggested many, many times that people should make Aliyah, thousand reasons. Over the years, I've listed many. I don't know if I've gotten to a thousand yet. But among the thousand, one of the main reasons is Lashon HaKodesh. I'm zocheh to have children and grandchildren. Grandchildren who could be the Rosh Hashiva and Torah Tzraga without too much difficulty. 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. They know Mishnayis of Kachim by heart. Chamishikum Shetara by heart. I have several grandchildren. You know Chamishikum Shetara by heart. You know why? Because they have the Shana Kodesh. That's an important thing to try to acquire. You have to try your best to really achieve proficiency, and you're capable of doing it, Baruch Hashem. You're all budding B'nai Torah, and I have no suffix that Amitz Hashem you'll get to that. But I'm just pointing out to you, even, for example, from a halachic standpoint, the Mishnah Berurah has a very fascinating psak, the subject of a lot of discussion among the Dolei Achronim. The Mishnah writes in Ilan Ne'amorim, that's in Masechet Sota, and the Mechaber quotes it in Shulchan Aruch, there are a number of items that can be said b'chol loshon. Tefillah ne'amaris b'chol loshon. You can daven it actually in other lashonos, in other languages, a person who's not proficient in the Hebrew language. But the Mishnah Berurah points out that Lashon HaKodesh is much more meduyak than all the other translations. There are even issues how to translate, for example, certain psukim in Kriyat Shema that are not so easy to translate. But if you say the Lashon HaKodesh, you are yotzei. Even if you don't, shall we say, understand the translation, ad kidei kach, the Mishnah Berurah points out that if someone is living in the United States, so they can actually daven in English, because that's the spoken language, but if they were to go use another language in the United States, they would not be yotzei. And in any other country that applies, with the exception of one language, Lashon HaKodesh. That is yotzei across the board. So talking to Mishnah Berurah, as I said, the subject of a lot of discussion among the Dolei HaPoskim, but Lashon HaKodesh clearly has a certain kedusha to it, and it's something that one should try to acquire as much as one possibly can. And therefore, I'm just suggesting to you that we utilize Lashon HaKodesh. Eretz HaKodesh is Mashbia Kedusha. Yir HaKodesh is Mashbia Kedusha. Beis HaMikdash is Mashbia Kedusha. And unquestionably, part of that has to do with Lashon HaKodesh. And therefore, one should try to acquire the language to the extent that one can. Okay, this is just by way of a little preamble to the topic I want to talk about, which is right over here. Namely, take a look at Vayetze now. I'm discussing the few psukim in Perek Lamed. Perek Lamed pasuk, the first few psukim in Perek Lamed, that are very difficult and require a lot of, shall we say, explication, which hopefully will make an effort to try to explain this psukim. The Torah tells us, Vatera Rachel ki lo yodah liYaakov. Rachel saw she was not successful in bearing children to Yaakov, her husband. But Tikani Rachel Bachosa, she's jealous of her sister. Her sister, as you can see from the previous psukim, she already had four children. Yehuda's the fourth child. Yehuda's called Yehuda because Apam Odes Hashem, that's in Perach Abtes Pasuk Lamed Hey, one child after the next. And somehow Rachel is not Zochi yet to children. But Tomer El Yaakov, and here we have the difficult psukim. She tells Yaakov, Havli Bonim, give me children, V'yimayim Meson Ochi. And if not, I'm going to die. Wow. What a statement. So the Torah tells us, the simple pshat, of course, is, as Rashi points out, that what is she, in effect, asking Yaakov when she says, Havli Bonim V'yimayim Meson Ochi? What's a simple pshat? Daven for me. And Rashi quotes Chazal, Mishayim Lo Bonim Chashu Kemeis, someone who has no children, Chashu Shalom, is considered to be as if someone dies. But the problem, of course, is, if that's the case, look at the reaction of Yaakov Avinu. Pasuk Beis. Vayichar af Yaakov b'Rachel. Yaakov becomes exasperated. Gets angry at Rachel. Vayomer. What does he tell her? Hasachas Elokim Anochi. What am I, in place of God? Hashem mona mimech privaten. Hashem clearly is the one who decided at this point you're not going to have children. So in effect, what are you talking to me about? What kind of a reaction is this? Why did Yaakov say, Hasachas Elokim Anochi? Why did he become angry? Ribbono Shel Olam listens to tzaddikim. Their tefillos are heard. The Gemara even says, tzaddik goes there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekayem. A tzaddik imposes, shall we say, a gzeira. He tells Hashem what he feels should happen, and the Ribbono Shel Olam responds affirmatively. So what's going on here? And not only that, Rashi quotes from Chazal, Hashem mona mimech privaten. So Rashi says, what did he tell her? Mimech mona, v'lo mimeni. It's your problem. I have children. You don't have children. It's your issue. Wow. What a statement. A tzaddik is not allowed to daven for somebody else? Now we're talking about my spouse, my spice, my wife. I shouldn't daven for my wife, for my spice, for my spouse. So Chazal, take Yaakov Avinu to task. The famous Medrash, the Ramban quotes the Medrash here. Amal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kach onin es hameukos. That's how you respond to people who are stressed out? That's the way to respond to them? And Chazal indicate that Yaakov Avinu was punished. And the punishment, the Ramban quotes to the Medrash, Chayecha shebanecha asidim lama lefnei bano. In the future, your children will have to stand before her child. It's an allusion to the fulfillment of the dreams of Yosef when the Shvatim bowed down to Yosef, who was the Mishnah of Mitzrayim, the Viceroy of Egypt. So, here we have a very difficult series of psukim. When one examines psukim like this, if one is not schooled or mechunuch properly, and one does not have an understanding of whom the avos, avosenu hakdoshim were, and whom the imos hakdoshim were, one can easily misunderstand these psukim and misconstrue them. Is it possible that a man of Yaakov Avinu's stature would treat his wife in a callous kind of way? Chas v'shalom. Even though one might be tempted to read the psukim in such a fashion. However, my rabbeim, Zecher Tzadikim Livracha, did not read the psukim that way. There's no doubt that Yaakov Avinu, as any good husband, was genuinely concerned for the welfare of his wife, and was unquestionably deeply affected by her suffering. Ain't shum sofek. And undoubtedly, Yaakov Avinu poured out his heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Similar to what we saw actually in last week's parsha, if you remember, the psukim there say, Vayeta Yitzchak Hashem Lenochach Ishto Ki Akorahi. I'll discuss that a little bit later. And therefore, even though the Medrash tells us that Ribbono Shel Olam responded to Yaakov very strongly, kach onin es hameukos, doesn't mean that Yaakov Avinu's personality was in any way flawed. Chas v'shalom. Even though a young person might interpret the psukim in such a fashion. But I heard from my rabbi, I'll give you a list of whom I heard from. Moran Hagoyin Rav Yesidav Halevi Salavetchik Zatzal did not interpret the psukim that way. Moran Hagoyin Rav Amakoyin Pam Zatzal did not interpret the psukim that way. Moran Hagoyin Rav Nisim Alpa Zatzal did not interpret the psukim that way. So clearly, I would say they had a rather profound understanding of Chumash, to say the least, Gedolei Yisrael. And I once discussed this as well in 1983 with Moran Hagoyin Yevak Kamenetsky Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And I also heard from another Goyin on these psukim. I had the great source of hearing from Hagoyin HaRav Belsky Zatzal, also on these psukim. Rabbi Belsky was Rav Shir and Torah Das, so was Rabbi Pam. Rabbi Pam, I heard him discuss this issue approximately 55 years ago. Yeah. Rabbi Belsky, more recently, the Rav also, and the others I mentioned as well, in the course of all the years, I heard a lot of shiurim. I was an individual who went to shiurim, actually faithfully, attended them, because I felt there was value in being mishamish gedolei Yisrael by going to their shiurim. Even Rachel Imenu, also it's hard to understand when you look at the psukim, she sort of demands from Yaakov, havli bani, give me children. Clearly she understood that only Hashem is the one who's capable of answering her tefillos. The Gemara says in Tainus in the Bezim and Aleph, the matech of having children is where? Ve'ar Hashem. Hashem has three matechos. Number one, having children. Number two, you remember undoubtedly? Rain, excellent. And number three? Chiasaves. Matechos of Ve'ar Hashem. And he decides, shall we say, whom to give over these matechos to. But when one reads the psukim, it sounds like she's giving Yaakov Avinu an ultimatum. Hopefully, bonim v'yemayim meisam nochi. If you don't daven for me, there are going to be terrible consequences. But Yaakov Avinu does not require an ultimatum to daven on behalf of Rachel. He would have done so simply. Ima nochi b'tzara. She's his wife, his beloved wife. So the simple pshat, according to all these gedolei Yisrael, that Rachel was asking Yaakov not just to daven, but to daven with intensity, to daven with an incredible degree of, shall we say, of urgency. And Yaakov answered, I can't do such a thing. I can't give HaKadosh Baruch Hu an ultimatum. Namely, that if the tefillos are not answered, it's going to lead to your demise. One certainly can daven with one's heart, and one should daven with all one's heart. The Gemara says in the end of the fourth parak of Metzia, the Gemara says that elsewhere also, that even though the Beis Hamikdash is no longer extant, Shari Tfila, the Gemara says, are closed, but Shari Demos, Loni Nalo. The gate of tears is not closed. If one davens to Hashem Yisbarach with all of one's heart and tears, and one increases one's level of chesed and tzedakah, there's no question the Ribbono Shel Olam will respond. But as Soloveitchik used to point out, the Ribbono Shel Olam is the Shomea Tfila. Doesn't say that he has to carry out all of our bakoshes. He's the Shomea. Ma'avdil me'aval fi abdolos. Once or twice in Eretz Yisrael, maybe more than once or twice, I'm in a taxi, and the fellow was talking to his other taxi drivers. Shomea dudu! And Shomea! On and on and on. Got a kick out of the whole thing. I don't travel in taxis that often. Anyway, certainly his response to Rachel was not a callous one, chas v'sholom, but an explanation apparently why her request is not appropriate. Im ayin meisa anochi. If you're complaining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you have to understand that he's the one who has the matech. It's all in his hands. It's not in my hands. I'm not in control. The Gemara has actually a famous Gemara in Tainus. I have it in front of me in Daf Yutes. And Daf Chof Gimel, you all know the Gemara. Choni HaMa'agel. You remember he was once called upon to ask Hashem for Geshem. There was a very long and dry winter. And he davened with incredible hislavos, no rain. He then draws a circle on the ground and says, Ribbono Shel Olam, Klal Yisrael, put their faith in me because I may somehow a close member of your household, and he takes a shvua, I'm not going to move from here till you have Rachmanis on Klal Yisrael. What happened? Immediately the rain began to fall. So what's the pshat here? He was not chas v'sholom giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu an ultimatum. He simply was saying that my tefillah would be open-ended. Normally, tefillah has parameters, limitations. We know you daven shachris in the morning and mincha in the early afternoon, maariv at night time. Choni HaMa'agel was initiating a tefillah that was literally beligvul. Matter of fact, the Gemara goes on to tell us, Shim ben Chetach sends a message to Choni HaMa'agel. Ilulei Choni Ato, had your name not been Choni, I would have put you in Cheren. You'd be excommunicated. Because had our era been like that of Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaNavi, the keys to the Mafteach Dikshamim was placed in his hand, would you not be involved in Hatochas Ponim Klapi Malo? It's almost like a Chilul Hashem. But what can I do? He says to Choni HaMa'agel, you are like a ben Shemischanin of Ne'oviv. You're a son who somehow pleads with his father, and right away the father carries out your will. And about you it says, Yismach Avicha V'Imecha V'Sogi Yolanatecha. Basically he told Choni HaMa'agel, you are involved in a risk here. You're almost a Mechal Hashem Shamayim with this kind of behavior. Maybe Hashem, had he given the Mafteach of Geshem to a third party as he did in the days of Eliyahu HaNavi, maybe that was the case and therefore your tefillah would be ineffective. Then of course, his tefillahs would not have been answered. So perhaps, in the rebuke of Yaakov Avinu, there's that element as well. He told Rachel, you cannot make demands of the Ribbono Shel Olam, which may end up being unfulfilled and chas v'shalom result in the Chilul Hashem. By the way, this is also seen in the context of Moshe Rabbeinu. If you remember, here in Sefer Shmos, in Perek Lamed Beis, I'm not going to see the Pesukim if you wish. Perek Lamed Beis, Pesuk Lamed Beis, Moshe Rabbeinu seemingly also gives HaKadosh Baruch Hu an ultimatum. He tells him, V'atam tisa chatosam, the cheder ego. He tells him that, forgive them, v'yamayim, mechini no b'sifuch asher kosofta. What does he tell Hashem? Erase my name from the Chumash. By the way, what did Chazal tell us? That there was an element of kiyum of that statement. Where is it? Moshe Rabbeinu's name not found from the time he appears on the scene. Which parasha? Tetzaveh. Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned. The kiyum of this statement. But what apparently is being articulated here is a very important yisod, and that's what I want to discuss. Namely, a person has to learn how important it is to daven with unbelievable kavana, with unbelievable passion. Literally, when I daven, my davening should literally shatter the Shemesh Shamayim. Gam ki ezak mashaveya, sosam tulasi. The person needs something desperately, his tefillah becomes an incredibly powerful koach. Of course, you have to also do chesed, you have to have other schusim, unquestionably, but the fact of the matter is that at the end of the day, we are ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim, that our tefillos have the capacity to change the teva, literally to change nature. And that's apparently what's going on here with reference to Yaakov Avinu. And so I want to, in that context, mention to you a number of fundamental yesod, which I believe is kimat, mufiyah miyuzdaiti, explains this entire shakla v'tarya of the Yaakov Avinu and Rachel, based on the Ramban that I just mentioned a moment ago. Ramban, by the way, asks here a number of kashas, and also these questions are asked by many of the Rishonim and the Parshoni HaMikra. I saw in the Gur Aryeh, the Maral asks over here that what should Yaakov Avinu have done? He should have spoken to her with great sensitivity, should have been medaber aliba, he should have spoken to her with divrei ritzoi, he should have told her, I'll try my best to fulfill your words, I'll try my best to ask Hashem for rachamim, as opposed to what he did. However, there's a yesod here that I heard from my rabbi and many, many times. I'm talking about all the above that I referred to earlier, the Gdol Yisrael. And I found it last week in Rabbeinu B'chayim. Astounding Rabbeinu B'chayim. You know, I've mentioned many times, the Shana Bet people probably know about the Shana Alf. I'll just briefly tell you the Shana Alf, a yesod that my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal was very fond of from his great-grandfather, the Beis Halevi, what's called Siba Mesodav, cause and effect. I'll just mention the well-known psukim that he comments on the beginning of Pashas Mikheis. The Torah says, You recall the background to that? Namely, what's happening? Seemingly, if you take the psukim just at face value, one fine day, Paro has a dream, and he is frustrated by his inability to interpret the dream. That's what the pasuk seems to say. And then, guess what? He asks the dreamologists how to interpret the dream. They interpret it not to his, shall we say, satisfaction. And as a result, who comes to his attention? Yosef. Yosef interprets the dream to his satisfaction. And before you know it, guess what? Who becomes the viceroy, the Mishnah Melech Mitzrayim? Yosef. Is that the Pshat of Sukkim? So I heard from Agoyim HaTzadik, Avram HaKoyim Pam, 55 years ago. He called this interpretation Geschichte übergedreht auf den Kopf. Translated into English, upside down thinking. Totally inverted. And the Beis HaLevi says the same thing. He preceded Rav Pam by many, many years. Beis HaLevi quotes a medrash. He's bothered by the language of Mikes. When is the term Mikes used in Tanakh? Usually when we're talking about the end of an epoch, the end of an era, the end of a zeitgeist. There are many writers. I'll only bring you one. In Parshas Bo, the Torah says, when the time came for Klal Yisrael to be redeemed, what does Rashi say? Lo ikvon keheref ayin. Not even 1 second. Everything is synchronized from the standpoint of Ribbono Shel Olam down to the very last second. So there it says Miketz. Comes the Medrash, beginning of Parshas Miketz, Medrash Rabbah, and the Medrash says the following. The Beis HaLevi calls his Medrash, the beginning of Miketz. Kevin Shigia Hazman the Yosef the Ishtachar Beis HaAsurim Vahimi Kesh Nasayim Yomim Uparacholim. Medrash says that which we think is the cause is the effect, and that which we think is the effect is the cause. The time came for Yosef to be released from incarceration. So guess what? All of a sudden Paro becomes what? A dreamer. And the Medrash then goes on to quote the pasuk in Iyo, where the Navi says Ketzom LaChoshech U'Lachol Tachlis U'Lachol Ker. And so in effect, what is really happening over here? The answer is, what's happening is the following. Ribbono Shel Olam has a plan, a divine blueprint, plan that began with an earlier Rashi. When Avraham Avinu, the Brisman Absalom, was told, Kiger Yeza Achav Eretz Olohem, Va'avod Avinu Osam Abba Me'o Shono, V'gam Esagoy Ashe Avod Adon Anochi, V'achachay Yetzu B'chush Godo. There's a plan that has to go into action. And Ribbono Shel Olam is busy, shall we say, carrying out the plan. So how does he go about doing it? The answer is Paro becomes a dreamer. And then Yosef comes in to play, interprets the dream. All this is, of course, leading to the Shibud Mitzrayim, the Gulas Mitzrayim, and therefore, that's exactly the interpretation. Rabbi Salevi brings a cute little raya, which is an incredible raya. You remember earlier when the Torah describes the Malachim who came to Avraham Avinu, and then a little bit later, Talot, Lot, of course, is also Machnis Orach. He knows that Bukai in the Mitzvah Nos Zorchim. And it says there, Umatzos Ofa Vayochelo. Why in heaven's name is he baking matzah? I thought matzah has something to do with Pesach. So Rashi says in the spot, Pesach Oyah. It was Pesach. Yeah, that may very well be. But if I'm not mistaken, I think Pesach has a little bit to do with Shibud Mitzrayim, Yetzias Mitzrayim. Are you familiar with that? That comes many years later. What in heaven's name is going on here? Says the Beis HaLevi, you're making a mistake. You think the reason why we eat matzah is because of what happened in Mitzrayim, Shibud, Geula. That's why. Geschichte beginnt auf dem Kopf. Totally opposite. Hashem wanted to give us the mitzvah to eat matzah. So what did he do? He created an entire plan. Yosef comes out to Mitzrayim, Shibud Mitzrayim, Gulas Mitzrayim, and as a result, we now are able to do what Hashem wants us to do, by Tov L'Matzos. So that which you think is the cause is the effect, that which is the effect is the cause. Wild beyond belief. There are many kashas on this, I'm not discussing it right now. It's poshut to me that this is Yosef, one of the most fundamental principles of our emunah. Many years ago, I was in Boston. I used to spend a lot of time there. I asked Rav Soloveitchik in Boston there, I was able to speak to him without being congealed. I asked him the following kasha. There's a Gemara in Yevamos, happens to be Rashi has found 3 times in Tanakh, So pasuk in Tzvanya, Rashi in Bo'era, Rashi in two other places, Agamar in Yavamis, Adrasha Sa'ad, two other matters. The Gemara says that Ein Melchama Ba'adi Yoylem Ever B'shul Yisrael. Every war is related to Klal Yisrael. So I asked Rabbi Soloveitchik, what in heaven's name does the Vietnam War have to do with the Jewish people? On the spot, he tells me, do you know what my uncle said? His uncle, the Briskerov, is a Briskerov in Chumash, Chedusha Griz Alateo. You're probably familiar with that. If not, I would suggest tonight you begin to learn the Chedusha Griz. Otherwise, it's a question about your identity. So the Chedusha Griz, the Briskerov, has this unbelievable discussion, the beginning of Chedusha Griz Alateo. He talks about Hashaon Metaktek Zabaya. Anyway, so the Briskerov talks about the following. He discusses the Rambam, Pirush HaMishnayos, the Akdama. The Rambam has a very fascinating Akdama. The Rambam talks about an oasis in the desert that is remote and distant. And 100 years after the oasis emerged, comes a tzaddik who's wandering in the desert and needs water and is parched and thirsty. And Baruch Hashem, he comes to the oasis and is able to slake his thirst. Says the Rambam, you know why that oasis was created? For that tzaddik, who 100 years later is going to come, that's why the oasis was created. Pasuk in Iyo, everything is a pasuk. Yochin Rosha, b'tzaddik Gilbosh. The Rosha prepares the oasis, but it's for the tzaddik. Says the Briskerov. You know what the Torah tells us at the very beginning? Bereishis, Bara Elokim. You know why Hashem created the Torah? What does Rashi say? Ramban quotes it also. Bishul Yisrael Shadikur Reishis. Klal Yisrael is called Reishis. Pasuk Yibiyo. The Navi says, Kodesh Yisrael Hashem, Reishis Tuwaso. Ubishul HaTorah Shadikur Reishis. So we think the world was created, so what? So people can go to Papagayos and have Achila Gasa and eat whatever they want for 194 shekel and have a good time. That is not why the world was created. I'm sorry to tell you. The world was created for the Torah. And the world was created for Klal Yisrael. For what purpose? To ultimately, obviously, find a way where Ribbono Shel Olam will be accepted as Hashem Echad Yishmo Echad. That's the whole Tanakh. That's everything. Again, Geschichte, Ibegit Reid Avin Kop. What does the world think? What was the world created for? Rabbi Apfel Shlita spoke about it this morning. What was the world created for? To satisfy my desires. A streetcar named Desire. That's why the Torah, that's why the world was created. No other reason. That is the only reason why the world was created. Bereishis Bara Elokim, Leman, Sfois Farova, Esatzmeya. Pasuk later on in the world. Chas v'shom. The world was created for the Torah, and for Klal Yisrael, and for yeshivas, and for people who are involved in chesed. So everything is upside down. Okay, so now I go back to Rabbein Mechai. Rabbeinu Chaim Lesnik's Pasha says, this is so. Vayeta Yitzhak Lashem Menochach Ishto Kiyam Korahi. Do you remember? The Torah describes the beginning of Toldos. But before that, she has no children. Rivka. And what happens? Yitzhak prays to Hashem. Not praise. Vayeta. What does the Gemara say in Tainis? Vayeta means? Ribu Tfilos. Passionate Tfilo. So what's the simple pshat? He's davening. You know why? Because his wife was not Korah. She's not able to give birth. Is that the pshat? Says Rabbein Bechaye, Yeshiva, it'll be laid up in Kop. Upside down, completely upside down. What's the pshat? The Gemara in Yavamis, Daf Samach Daled, I believe. Gemara says, the Neimah Hayu Avoseinu Akurim, why were our forebears, even though they're only three, but why were our forebears Akurim? So the Gemara said, because Akadosh Baruch Hu Misaveh L'Tzilasim Shel Tzadikim, the Medrash. Why were the Imos unable to have children? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Misaveh L'Shmo HaSichasam. The reason why they were Akoros, you know why? Because Hashem wants to hear the Tfilos. Not as you think. You think the cause is what? That they are Akoros and the effect is Tfilah. No! On the contrary, Hashem wants Tfilah and therefore they are Akoros. There's a Rashi in Vayera, in Perek Chaf Aleph here, Pasuk Yud Zayin. You recall, Vayishma Elokim Eskol Anar, so Rashi quotes in the context of Yishmael, Mikan, She Yofa Tfilas Chayla Mitfilas Achayim Molo, Ikodemes Yiskabel. The person, God forbid, is a Chayla, bet that he should daven himself, and his tefillahs are more accepted than others. Of course, you should daven for him as well, the Gemara Brachas. Kalam Espala Chaver, we talk about Sodom, and then a Tfila. If I'm daven for someone else, and I'm also in need, my tefillahs will be answered. And there are a lot of kashas on this. However, the yisod that I'm telling you over, Rabbeinu B'chaye, is exactly the yisod of the Beis HaLevi. Same exact yisod, namely cause and effect. And therefore, the Ramban's kasha is really answered. The Ramban, going back to the beginning of this parasha again, the Ramban asked on Rashi, Yaakov Avinu thought, since the whole tachlis of the imohos being akaros is in order that they should daven, Hashem wants the tefillah, which is all-powerful, all-pervasive, all-passionate. And that's why Yaakov Avinu tells Rachel, when she says to him, Havli bonim bi maime son ochi, and Yaakov already has other children, through Leah. So Rachel is the one, she is the nitzrechet, she is the one who's in need of children. What is the reason why she became an akara? In order that she should daven. And therefore Yaakov Avinu tells her, Hasachas Elokim Anochi, Hashemona Mimech Pribaten. And the Targum says it unbelievably. You know Targum Onkelos? A skula of Arichas Yomim is a Gemara in Brachas. Today people have many, many skulas. Most of them are what they call, in simple Hebrew, Sipure Safta. Or they call in Chinese, Baba Masses. But there's a skula that the Gemara says in Brachas. Namely, Shleimbik of Echatagim. You're going to be Zochatar, Richas Yom. Look at the Targum of this pasuk, in Vayetze. Perak Lamed, what we just read. Pasuk Beis. Utkef Rugza di Yaakov Barachel. Yaakov becomes angry with Rachel. V'omar Hamini Adbaya. Halo Minkodom Hashem Tivin. Minkodom Hashem Tivin. What are you asking for me? Ask to me, Rabbi Shalom. Daven for yourself. And I heard from my Rabbeim a number of times. This is also pshat in the Psukim, if you remember, in Sefer Shmuel. There, Penina and Chana, you recall that she has no children and she is tormented. Of course, Chazal said, Gemara Babasa, Penina l'shem Shamayim nisgadla, but she was also punished. When you torment another person, Rachmanu Litzlan, Rav Chaim Shmuel Eben Zatzal said, it's like putting your hand in fire. So the pasuk says over there, "B'chiyasato tzarasa gamkas babu harima kisaga Hashem b'yad Rachman." The pasuk says afterwards, "V'hi maras nefesh v'tispalo l'Hashem u'bachol tivke." What's going on over there? And we find that Elkanah did not daven for Chana; she had to daven for herself because Elkanah already had children from Penina. And now, that's what the Gemara tells us over there. And Rashi says in Bar Basra, I think it's on Tezayim, and that pasuk, Penina l'shem shavayim nizkavna v'chiyasata tzarosa gamkas babu harima shetisroim al shehi akora v'tispalel. And that's what the pasuk says. V'chiyasata tzarosa gamkas babu harima, since the tefillah of a chayla of a nitzrach is more powerful than the tefillah of other people, so therefore Penina held that Chana is not davening sufficiently. She was mitzayr her in order that she should daven more passionately. Be maras nefesh. And this is a yisod gadol that one could derive from this entire parsha. The yisod is that the more passionate a person davens, the greater the kabbana a person can bring to bear. There's no question that Ribbono Shel Olam will respond to their tefillos. It's true, as I mentioned earlier. Sharei tefillos ninalu, but sharei gemaros lo ninalu. Person davens with tears to Hashem Yisbarach, he'll respond to our tears. We have the koach hatfilah. It's a koach no one else has. Briskolov has actually a shtikol teyo where he points out the concept. The Gemara actually speaks about this many times in Gemara Brachas and elsewhere about the koach hatfilah of tzibur. But we know that the Torah tells us in Bais Chanan that kimi goy godol asher lo elokim kroivim elav kashem elokeinu b'chol kareinu elav. That's the Gemara Shoshana, the makom hatfilah of tzibur. We have the ability to daven to Hashem Yisbarach. If we do a betzibur, then we have all the schusim of the entire tzibur. coming together, and the Ribbono Shel Olam cannot chas v'shalom reject in a moyis shilasim shel Rabbim. As they shem Rambam, as they shem Shulchan Aruch. That's the way it is. But each one of us, as yechidim, there's tefillah where people daven. We see it all the time. Sometimes I daven in places where I think I'm in a graveyard. Lo yamisim yehaluka. You have to daven with kavana. You have to try to daven, muster all the possible passion we can, and unquestionably, if we do so, Ribbono Shel Olam wants to hear our tefillos. And that's the yisod of the Beis Halevi, the yisod of Rabbeinu B'chaye, the yisod of Ramban, the yisod of all the Gedolei Yisrael. I'm just sharing with you in the context of these psukim. We have the koyach ha-tefillah. Hashem wants to hear our tefillos. So, what is the cause and what is the effect? The cause is he wants to hear our tefillos. And the effect is all kinds of tzaras. Yesh makom ladun b'zeh, habeh. There are many aspects of this that need more explication, but this is a yisod gadol that should hopefully help us in terms of how we approach Hashem Yisbarach. Halavai he should respond to all our tefillos in Yitz Hashem. Okay.